Tune in to Bible Issues with Dr. Denver Chedi and Induo Rampol Chedi every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Learn to hear God's voice through the Word of God to live a victorious and overcoming life.
Bible Issues every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Bible Issues. My name is Dr. Denver Chedi. I would like to read a few verses from the book of Mark chapter 6, starting from verse 1. Jesus left there and went to his hometown accompanied by his disciples, that is Nazareth. And when the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. Where did this man get these things, they asked. What's this wisdom that has been given to him? What are these remarkable miracles he is performing? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon, and his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. And Jesus said, A prophet is not without honor except in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his own home. He could not do any miracles there except lay hands on a few sick people and heal them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. It says that Jesus, the Son of God, could not do any miracles except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their lack of faith. How do you picture that? Whenever you read a scripture like this, there must be some kind of image or movie playing in your mind as to what exactly happened. Many of us believe that, let's say, there were 10 people who came for prayer. Because of the unbelief of the crowd, Jesus was unable to heal 8 of them, but he was only able to heal 2 of them that had faith. And that's how we picture it. And the reason we picture it like that is because that's how it happens in our churches. Whenever there's an altar call and people don't get healed, the pastors say, well, there is so much unbelief in the crowd. If there was an atmosphere of faith, there would be more miracles in the church. So because we hear and see things like that, we think that's how it happened also in Jesus' time. But let me ask you this. Do you think Jesus structured his ministry the same way we structure our church services? Do you think that Jesus began with 3 fast songs and 2 slow songs, followed by announcements, followed by offerings, preaching, and then at the end, an altar call? Most likely, that's not how Jesus operated. Most likely, he didn't confine himself to that kind of box. Let's go through these 6 verses, and we will see from the context exactly what happened, and we will also get from these 6 verses a proper understanding of what exactly is faith and what exactly is unbelief. Because those are things that Christians struggle with. What is faith? What is unbelief? Because just by the word believe, we think it's some kind of mental thing of just mentally believing certain facts. And it's confusing. So in the scripture, we will get a good understanding of what exactly is faith, what exactly is unbelief. So Jesus went to his hometown, which is Nazareth, and he began to teach in the synagogue. We know that Jesus was a carpenter. What many of us might not also know is that Jesus was also trained as a rabbi. So him teaching in the synagogue was not really surprising. Now, back then, they didn't have social media, they didn't have CNN, they didn't have YouTube. They must have heard that somebody from Nazareth, some of them would have known him, some of them might not have known him, was going around Israel creating waves. He was healing the sick, irritating the Pharisees. You could say that Jesus was trending, you know, hashtag Jesus of Nazareth. People would have heard about him, but they couldn't go to YouTube and see exactly what he was doing. So they had a vague idea that something was happening, something was stirring with somebody from Nazareth who was making waves. So when he finally came to his hometown, they were all excited to see him. So that piqued their curiosity. They might have heard of his miracles, but then when they heard him for the first time, they heard his wisdom, and they definitely were impacted by his wisdom. because they said, what's this wisdom that's been given to him? And they said, what are these remarkable miracles he's performing? Remember again, they didn't have YouTube, so they could not have seen it on the internet. They could not have seen what miracles he did in other towns. They must have been seeing miracles happening right in front of them. So as Jesus was preaching and teaching, maybe a few people came for healing and he was able to heal them. And they heard his teaching and they saw the miracles and they were definitely impressed. They said, what's this wisdom that's been given to him? So they definitely were moved by his message. They definitely were moved by the miracles. The problem they had was not with his message, was not with his miracles. They didn't have a problem with what he said or what he did. They had a problem with him personally. They said, we hear the great wisdom that this man is saying. We see those miracles. We've never seen anything like that before. We've seen people get healed. But isn't that the carpenter's son? Isn't that Mary's son? Didn't we grow up with this guy? Didn't we go to school with him? Didn't we pitch marbles with him? And they took offense. They could not accept that one of their own people was elevated to that position of being great. Because they might have been thinking, I was a better carpenter than him. If anybody has to be God as me, why is he God? How did he get a chance to be God? I was better than him. I was smarter than him. I'm better looking than him. I should be God. And that's how they were thinking. And I'm pretty sure that many of you who are successful in something will have encountered that at some point with your family. You will find that other people who are not part of your family and people who you didn't grow up with could accept what you've done. But somehow, your immediate family, they just can't accept the fact that you are good or you are great or that you have accomplished something in life. Somehow that doesn't sit right with them because there is always that inherent competition among them to be better than you, and they cannot accept that you have now excelled to a place that's higher than them. He said, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown, among his relatives. In other words, a prophet will be recognized everywhere else, but not among his own people. Maybe there were some of the older people who were proud of him and were happy to see one of their own countrymen excelling and doing well. But most of the people his age might have been offended. And that's what the Bible says. They took offense at him. And what happens when people normally take offense? They walk away. So it went on to say, because of that, he could not do any miracles there except lay hands on a few sick people and heal them. So let's look at that verse. He could not do any miracles there except lay hands on a few sick people and heal them. But if he laid hands on a few sick people and healed them, wouldn't that be miracles? I mean, if that happened in our churches, even in the greatest so-called miracle churches, if a few sick people got healed, you will not hear the end of that. That'll be on TV. That'll be all over the internet. Wow, a genuine miracle took place. You know, that would be big news. Of course that's a miracle. Healing is a miracle. But what the scripture meant is that he could not do miracles there the same way he did it in other places. He couldn't do mass miracles there. Except lay hands on a few sick and heal them. Now why? Is it that he could not physically do it? Is it that he tried to heal people but couldn't heal them? Is it that 10 people came to the altar and he was only able to heal 2 but he couldn't heal the other 8 because they didn't have faith? That's not what happened at all. Look at the context. They took offense at him and they left. So the majority of people would have left and not even come for healing. Maybe there were sick people in the crowd who heard that there was this Jesus person who was going around doing miracles. And they came hoping to be healed. But then when they heard other people saying, how could this man be God? He's one of us. They probably just got caught up in the crowd and they went away too with their sickness and everything else. They probably never even came for healing. But there were a few people who were able to think outside of the crowd, outside of the herd, And they were able to think to themselves, you all could say what you want. If that guy could heal, I'm going up for healing. And they went. A few people went. And that's why he was able to heal a few sick people. So it wasn't that Jesus was not physically able to heal. It's just that a lot of people did not come for healing. And that's why he couldn't do a lot of miracles there. And that is what Jesus called lack of faith. He was amazed at their lack of faith. Faith is not the ability to concentrate hard. Lack of faith is not the inability to concentrate hard. Faith is an action word, not a thinking word. Because of the unbelief of the people, they rejected him and they left. But there were a few people who maintained faith and they came to him. In this context, lack of faith was manifested in their rejection of him. Because they didn't have faith, they took offense and they left. In spite of the message, which they found remarkable, in spite of the miracles, which amazed them, they took offense and they left. So true faith accepts the message of Christ. It accepts what Christ said. It accepts what Christ did. And it accepts who Christ is. If you miss any one of those, your faith is not genuine. There are some people, for example, the Israelites, who liked his message. They were amazed by the miracles, but they could not accept him. There are some people who like Christ, who love the idea of miracles, but they can't accept the message. And they have to water down the message into some other feel-good gospel that tickles their ears. Because the true gospel of the cross is too much for them to bear. They can't accept that. True faith accepts all three. What Jesus said, what he did, and who he is. Anything less than that is not genuine faith. It is unbelief. And true faith does not reject Christ, but it comes to him. Jesus said, those who are mine will come to me. No man can come to me except the Father draws him. Anybody who has genuine faith will act on that faith and will come to Christ, accepting him, his message, and what he did, his atonement on the cross. Does your faith accept all three of those things? Do you accept what Jesus said? Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? Do you accept what Jesus did? Not just his miracles on earth, but his death on the cross for your sins. And do you accept who he is, King of Kings, Lord of Lords? And the Bible says, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. Is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? Is your faith genuine faith? Do you find yourself liking the idea of Christ, loving the idea of miracles, but not too excited about the gospel message? Jesus said, deny yourself, take up your cross. The Bible says, repent and be converted. The modern gospel teaches you can be all that you can be. You can have all that God wants you to have. Whereas Jesus said, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow. Is the message that Christ preached something that is too much for you? Does it offend you? The Bible challenges us to examine ourselves to see if we are truly in the faith. And I've given you in this particular passage three characteristics of genuine faith. Genuine faith will accept the message of Christ, it will accept the work of Christ, and it will accept the person of Christ and come to him in total surrender. If you haven't done that, then I urge you to pray, to seek God, and to surrender your life to him.
Join us again for our next program. Find us online at BibleIssues.org. Join us also on our Facebook group. To be able to access the group, go to BibleIssues.org, where you will find the link. If you missed any of our broadcasts, you can catch up online at BibleIssues.org. Look for the audio sermons link. God bless you and hope you join us next time.
Tune in to Bible Issues with Dr. Denver Chady and Induo Rampol Chady every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Learn to hear God's voice through the Word of God to live a victorious and overcoming life.
Bible Issues every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.